If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
In Texas, the Biden administration was releasing illegal immigrants into our communities who had COVID. The Biden administration was spreading COVID in South Texas yesterday because of their lack of constraint of testing and quarantining people who'd come across the border illegally. The Biden administration was exposing Texans to COVID. That is Neanderthal-type approach to dealing with the COVID situation.
Well, he's not wrong. That's Governor Greg Abbott, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who was pretty upset over the classification yesterday from Joe Biden, who apparently now is sending a team to Texas at some point in the next. When did they say that it was? Like maybe the next week? I read 2 different reports where it said like maybe within the next week and then one said by the end of the month. So I really don't know what the hell, which one it is. Guys, guess what today is?
Friday.
No, it's Friday. Yay. We made it through the week. Very excited about that. Very excited. We made it through this week. And I'm going to keep you updated about everything that's happening. They're fighting over the coronavirus non-relief bill in the Senate. And I have some I'll give you some updates about the votes, the tester votes on the $15 minimum wage. And we'll get into, I'll follow the proceedings, the progress of that Senate bill. We also need to have a huge discussion about H.R. 1 that went through the House, because I'm very curious how this is going to do in the Senate. This is one of the worst pieces of legislation in the past 50 years. Anyone who claims that they're concerned about election integrity, at least enough to the point where you know, they didn't want to go and vote and anything else. If they're unaware of what H.R. 1 is, then I call shenanigans and I call fake on their concern that for any kind of election integrity. It is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation in the past 50 years. It's an attack on free speech. It nationalizes elections. It makes taxpayers fund campaigns. What else does it? Because there's like a huge list of bad things that it does. And it cements mail-in voting. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So we're going to talk about that as well in today's program, because that's a big bad bill. It's a big bad bill, and I am shocked that not enough people know about it. Like really genuinely shocked. So the latest, as it stands with the fight over the border, I have some border headlines for you. We're going to get into the coronavirus battle as well, because Connecticut reopened. Well, they're reopening somewhat. They're opening. I was looking at, not just them, but also Arizona. So Connecticut is rolling back their coronavirus restrictions, and they're allowing full capacity indoor dining, increased entertainment and sports capacity, and the travel ban has been lifted. So the full indoor dining is how it's described. And I cannot wait for Democrats and the media to crap all over Connecticut the way that they have Texas and Florida for the past year. And you know that's true. But you know what? I bet they won't. Do you want to know why I bet they won't? Oh, Democrat. Just saying.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. Are you a Democrat? It's a flow chart. Are you a Democrat? Oh, you are? Okay, then you're not. Don't worry about it. Then we're not gonna say anything to you. So that's And Arizona also announced that they are rolling back restrictions as well. Super huge. Super huge. And for whatever reason, I have Cuomo listed under my coronavirus stuff. Why did I do that? I don't know, but I did. So the rollback in Connecticut And they published this yesterday. This is a little bit after we were off radio. They published this yesterday. You did get a link in this, though, if you get my, if you're a subscriber and you get my prep, because there's a lot of stuff that someone had asked me. And you can subscribe for the newsletter, by the way, danalash.com. Go up to the top and hit subscribe, chapter and verse. It's all me, literally just me. Nobody else sees it. It's my typos and everything. And I had someone say, well, why don't you send the prep out before the show starts? Well, do you want a limited list of a lot of stuff that I probably don't even talk about on air? Or would you like a list of all of the things I actually talk about on air? Because that's how that works. That's how that comes together. And you can attest to this, King, because how many times do I just literally delete entire sections
that's true.
In the middle of the show?
That's true. It
daily.
Happens. I mean,
God
live radio
Rachel. She
is
has
live
a stroke
radio.
In the corner.
So it's really like the post prep.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll put stuff in that because there were like yesterday's a great example. Half of what we were talking about yesterday started happening as the show kicked off.
Usually.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it is. We fall in that. We fall in that line of like, this is when all the news is breaking, etc. So that's why it goes out shortly after the show. All right. So where to start? Connecticut dramatically rolling back. I have not seen, and boy, I've been looking, I have not seen any complaints about Connecticut doing this. And I've seen a lot of people trying to justify it and say, oh, well, it's different than, no, it's not, because when Texas did this, you guys did the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. When Florida did this, you guys did the exact same thing. And you know it. So stop. Don't act like it's any different. Additionally, it's not just restaurants, it's also retail, libraries, personal services, indoor recreation, gyms, museums, offices, and houses of worship. And they said that the protocol, so they do have a mask mandate, and they said that bars that only do beverages will continue to remain closed. Indoor theaters can have 50% capacity. Large event venues open in April, and then all capacity limits at the end of March are eliminated for face coverings and social distancing. That has to be required. But retail, libraries, restaurants, etc. Well, states that don't have, you know, the success that Florida and Texas have. Yeah, I mean, it's I can see that they probably don't want to go so far as Florida or Texas, who really handled it correctly, as well as North Dakota. But it's I still have not seen any criticism of it. And they're not going to, just like they're being very careful and cagey in how they're going to, you know, like with Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom tweeted this out yesterday. This was shortly after Greg Abbott made his announcement. He revised the state health recommendations to tell Californians to wear two masks. That's a real, it's real. Wow. It is absolutely Why? Real. In fact, a reporter with the Orange County Register and LA Daily News tweeted that it's not satire. New state health guidelines announced by Newsom on Thursday recommend that Californians wear not one but two cloth masks or one filtered mask when going out in public. So two things that don't work. Yay! And they said that they are directing people to wear face coverings in indoor public settings. And the quote is thus, we are encouraging people basically to double down on mask wearing, particularly in light of all what I would argue is bad information coming from at least four states in this country. We are not going to walk down their path. We're mindful of your health and our future, Newsom said. Yeah, so it's a great way to ruin it. We don't want to walk down their path of success in dealing with this. We want to continue to be crappy. It's what we want to do. I think Gavin Newsom should just cover his whole head. The whole head. Just cover all of it. The whole thing.
Is French Laundry okay? I'm guessing it would be.
Yeah, well, that's different because he's special. See, he's old money.
Yeah.
He's old money, so that makes him immune. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
If you just rub physical old dollars all over yourself, it provides an immunity. This is so Gavin Newsom, that's why he can go to French Laundry and you can't. Because he's old money. Because he's old money and that's just... I'm just assuming. We never really got a great... I think it was just all an excuse with him. Mm-hmm. Someone made the point, being obese is more dangerous than not wearing a mask. True.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I bet it is.
I am made of questions now.
They say masks actually, you know, magnify and exaggerate the bacteria and focus it right where your airways are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not great for health. So, you know what? I'm guessing you know, obesity also not great for health.
Really? You think so?
Neither one's great
wow.
for health.
Wow. You mean they're both bad for health? Are both. You fat shaming?
Yes.
See, there you
and,
go.
Oh, what? Did you say mask or fat?
No, fat shaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're like, yeah, I am. I am. I'm totally doing that. So, yeah, he can cover his whole head. And then I got one more for you. So hang on. I got one because I have some stuff on Arizona as well. I'm pulling this up. So Arizona, was it yesterday or late? It was after radio. Yes, this was yesterday. There, the governor of Arizona announced a new executive order requiring public schools to offer in-person instruction by March 15th. Ooh, Doug Ducey. He's saying, no, get thyself in thy classroom. And now they're going to have, they're required to have in-person instruction by March 15th. Good. Some of these states are now, like, they're coming around. I love it. Now, we played that audio for you because Greg Abbott had hit back saying that it was Neanderthal thinking to lift, you know, the masks and to criticize what Texas is doing so much more successfully than other Democrat governors. I just want to put out because statism kills. And I just want, I put this out on Twitter. If you follow me at all on Twitter, well, you get it in the newsletter as well. But I also put this up in graphical form because people like to read pictures, even if it's pictures of text. You know what I mean? So I reminded everyone, you still have to have a negative test before boarding your flight to reenter the United States when it talks about travel. And I wanted to read for you this CDC, I have the link, got it in the newsletter, requirement for proof of negative COVID test or recovery from COVID for all air passengers arriving in the United States. Sidebar, I hate it because China forced the World Health Organization to call it that instead of coronavirus because they were trying to distance themselves at all from any accusation that this came out of Wuhan. So that's why I hate saying it because China wanted it that way. And I don't like repeating language that China's mandating everyone else say in sidebar. So the order, this has been since January, and you have to, if you're a U.S. citizen, doesn't matter, you have to prove that you are negative before you're allowed back in the country. Like, what happens if you don't take the test and you want to travel to the U.S.? One of the questions posed to the CDC, and it is, they say this, air passengers traveling to the U.S. are required to present a negative coronavirus test result or documentation of recovery. Airlines must confirm the negative test result or documentation of recovery for all passengers before boarding. If a passenger chooses not to present a test result or documentation of recovery, the airline must deny boarding to the passenger. By the way, don't think that I've seen some leftists out there saying, well, you know, that just applies to air passengers. It doesn't apply to people driving across the border. Yes, if you're an American citizen and you are trying to drive across the border, that not just for airlines, you moron. Heaven help us. You should be able, the statute of limitations should not be up on your mother dropping you on your head to say something that stupid that caused you to do that. This is still applicable. If people read the whole thing, you mean I have to read all the information on the Webernet page? Yes, you do. It applies. If you're coming across the border and you're a U.S. citizen, you got to show that you have a negative coronavirus test. And it can be a rapid test as long as it's a viral test that's acceptable under the government order, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there is a whole list of all this stuff, all of it. And this is applying to U.S. citizens. The thing is, though, is that you have to have a negative test before coming to reenter the United States. This is not being applied to any illegal entrants or asylum seekers at the border. And this is based on the widespread reporting, Border Patrol, city mayors and officials, and actual illegal entrants and asylum seeker interviews themselves. End scene. We have a lot more on the way as well. We're still not done with this topic. We've got a lot more to break down. Plus, the coronavirus relief plan. Republicans made Democrats mad because Ron Johnson made everyone read the 628-page bill. They said to stall the final vote. People like me say to know what the hell you're voting on before you vote on it. I mean, you know, crazy, right? We're going to get into the request for the National Guard extension. Why is this being made? And the big March 4th threat that never happened. What in the world is happening here? We're going to discuss this. The latest with H.R. 1, one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation in the past 50 years. And the latest on leaked documents on from the border, from the Biden administration, showing how drug cartels are using a wristband system, how the government's considering opening up a child detention center in Virginia, how they're calling the border Ellis Island, except without any kind of organization at all whatsoever because they're overwhelmed. Wait until you hear all of this. So we got this and a ton of other things more to jump into this Friday. We're happy to be with you today. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Superbeats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
So, Amy Coney Barrett has, well, she authored her, released her first opinion for the majority yesterday to protect government secrecy. Now, this is kind of tradition for new justices in that they write the majority opinion ruling as like their first assignment. Every single justice has done this, and so this is her turn. In this particular case, the court ruled 7-2 against the Sierra Club. They wanted to get internal documents from the EPA, and Justice Stephen Breyer wrote the majority opinion. And of course, you know, heaven forbid in this new era, someone not be a D-bag. But he actually broke with the tradition by failing to respectfully dissent. He actually wrote a very terse, "I dissent." So his was actually very snotty. And that was really in breaking with SCOTUS tradition there. So isn't that nice? Also, Michael Brown's father and other Ferguson activists are demanding $20 million from Black Lives Matter. They are saying that the financial organization, they're demanding this money. They said, you raised $90 million. We want $20 million. We made your movement. Now, where's the money going? Wow. We have a ton more stuff, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, everyone. The left is always trying to tell us how terrible America is and how it needs to be transformed. I'm here to tell you how great America is and why we need to preserve it. I'm Sarah Carter. And on the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll tell you why I was so encouraged by my visit to CPAC and the great people in this country determined to preserve our freedoms. On each episode, we'll expose the leftist agenda targeting your liberties and how you can keep what matters most to you. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Why doesn't he think about saying, folks, here's the deal. If you don't wear your mask, people are going to die because of you. That would certainly get people's attention.
Well, noted. I will say the president has been clear that if people wear masks for 100 days, 60,000 lives could be saved.
So is the reporter actually trying to encourage the administration to do, well, then why don't you shame people? Why don't you shame them more for not wearing it? I have some, you guys know that I have some new studies, right, about masks. I'm going to put it in the subscription, the email newsletter, chapter and verse. But yeah, about that. I know that people can cherry pick whatever kind of studies that they want to, because it's typically what people do. But just an FYI, they're not, I mean, I've every single thing you could possibly have ever seen on it. The cloth masks are just the stupid, most worthless things in the history of the world. The cloth masks are about, well, it's like having a second anus. I don't know how else to put it. Kane's distracted, so he didn't hear that, and no one's going to tell him.
I heard it.
No, you didn't.
I did.
I was talking about Easter. And,
oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, okay. And ham and stuff.
I see.
That's what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So the cloth masks just are worthless. The surgical masks provide a little bit better, I guess. If you can smell it, you're getting it, okay? Like, have you ever been wearing a mask and you walk into a store and they got a candle or something going? Can you smell that? Okay, the stuff is getting to your face. This is how this works, okay? I'm going to tell you another story related to this. On a plane, when we were flying to Florida, someone, when you are, I don't know what people do before they get on a plane, but for the love, grant us all courtesy and don't eat anything that could inflame one's digestive system before you get on the plane, okay? Because we are in a cylindrical tube going trillions of miles per hour in the sky, okay? No one can get away. No one can roll down a window. And we all basically have to Dutch oven ourselves because of the masks. So if you can smell whomever dealt it, then you're getting it. See what I'm saying? Okay. It's science, exactly. So they're not, I think a lot of people are using them like Linus uses his blanket in Charlie Brown. I mean, if it makes you feel better, that's great. But I'll say this. We spent a year now. People who were concerned about their health or the health of their loved ones, I get it. That's totally fine. I'm tired of saying this, by the way. If people are too stupid to figure this out, or if they're too malicious to extend to someone the benefit of the doubt so they don't have to preface every mother-loving statement with that, then you think you need to excuse yourself from the conversation so we all don't get dumbed down to your level. But we've spent an entire year staying home because some people were worried about going out. So now it's your turn to stay home. You stay home and we'll go out. If you're worried about your health, stay the hell home. There's a Dr. Seuss book for you. Stay the hell home. If you're worried about your health, stay home. If you're worried about your health, wear a mask. No one's telling you that you can't do any of these things. We're just telling you, you can't tell us to do these things. If this displeases you, feel free to relocate to a place where that type of top-down government is acceptable. You would love Russia, probably. But we spent a year ruining our children's lives, their academic development, their emotional development. We sacrificed our entire economy. Some people lost their entire livelihoods. So no, you don't get to tell people to stay home anymore. It's your turn. The grace extends both ways. Now, it's time for all of these border state governors to step up for sure. A couple of things. They had 1,600 immigrants arrested over 3 days in one single Texas border sector. This is the Border Patrol for Texas's Del Rio sector. 1,600. This is unbelievable. They said over 1,600 arrests in 3 days for Del Rio sector agents. These arrests include more than 25 smuggling cases, two criminal aliens, and were comprised of mostly single adults. Wow. And remember, not everyone is able to be tested. It was interesting how yesterday, and this was towards the end of the program, you had Jennifer Psaki saying that it was the responsibility of non-government organizations, volunteer organizations, city officials to provide tests and to administer tests. That the federal government, in response to the mess that it created with its own executive order, they're not going to do anything to alleviate this problem or the overflow at all whatsoever. And it is absolutely an overflow. In fact, it's overwhelming. According to documents that have been released, it's absolutely overwhelming. And this is from Axios. Axios has a, which I can't believe they actually published it. I guess good for them. I mean, that's, you know, finally they're doing journalism. But internal documents from the Department of Health and Human Services have shown how particularly the number of children coming across the border is overwhelming the administration's resources. They said that the shelter system is at 94% occupancy. This month, it will reach its maximum. And the Border Patrol referred to HHS about 321 children per day, according to internal government documents. That's up from a weekly average of 203 in late January and early February. Wow. Now, there are some, it looks like it might be this weekend, that some from the Biden administration are going to be going to the U.S.-Mexico border. And they're going to look at the, how these children coming across the border is troublesome, because apparently going down there and looking at it, maybe he can't be told. Maybe he's a visual learner. I'm not sure, but he's got to go down there and they're sending people down there to see it. The spokespeople for DHS and HHS had not haven't said anything so far about the documents coming out, but they've been moving to open overflow shelters. All of these things that we're going to do to not call them, you know, what they. It's not kids in cages. It's overflow shelters. Sure. We'll call it that. Uh-huh. But, I mean, that's what they're, I mean, that's what they're trying to come up with a new friendlier name. I'm not joking you. Like, this is, they're calling them reception centers. Washington Examiner. Biden administration is weighing a new name for the facilities it is setting up to manage all the kids and families at the southern border, hoping to limit children and emphasize that the buildings will hold people only temporarily. They're renaming the kids in cages, quote unquote, reception centers.
Oh, man.
The revolution will be complete when the language is perfect. According to three people familiar with the discussions, they say that the name sounds less harsh. Now, the name is going to distinguish the facilities, and one of those facilities is the one we talked about last week in Carrizo Springs, from the existing structures that ICE has, and I've explained that to you last week. They said that, no, these are detention centers or the holding facilities, and these are the reception centers. Reception, see, it's like, that makes it sound like a lobby at a hotel, right? Or it makes it sound like you just arrived at your resort and you're at the reception center. Here's your drink. Let's go check you in your room. You'll be halfway to the moon by the time we make it there. Would you like another drink? See? I mean, it's reception center. It sounds like a vacation, doesn't it? Reception center. Who doesn't want to go to the reception center? They have snacks in the reception center. They have hot coffee and liquor and snacks and everything in the reception center.
There.
Who doesn't want to go to the reception center? Would you like to go to the reception center? You can, just south of the border. It's the new Joe Biden reception center. They said that the new name is going to mark the administration's intention to use the reception centers, not for holding people in custody. By the way, sidebar, I want you to marvel, as I am, at the spin on this. Marvel. Back to the story. They said that they're using the reception center name, not for holding people in custody, but for serving as a send-off point to release these people into the United States. Oh, okay. How in the hell is that different from a detention facility? Oh, because they don't have clean bathrooms or something? I mean, I'm just curious. What do they not have snacks? Do you not get, like, I don't know, a little travel bag of Teddy Grahams when you walk in? I'm curious. Like, what makes it different? I love how they think that's the thing. By the way, did you guys see the number of illegal entrants and asylum seekers wearing mass-produced shirts that said, Biden, please let us in?
Oh, my God.
Did you see that video?
I didn't.
You didn't? Ooh, there are tons of them. Who paid for that? Anybody know?
Question.
I asked this, I had this in the newsletter last night. Who paid for that? They have all of these, I mean, there's video, there's photos, there's, you know, I'm curious who paid for the t-shirts, because you don't just like wish upon a star and they fall out of the damn sky. Someone has to go and make them. I'm not quite sure how, I don't know how that works, how they, but yeah, there's photos of them wearing them. coming across the border says, Biden, please let us in. Come in the right way? That's, you know, that's a thought.
I mean, we have port of entries.
I know. People act like there's no other way to get to the United States. I mean, we have this whole process. Democrats also act like there are no such thing as immigrants who immigrated legally to the United States and happily because they were eager to join the big American family and follow the law that we all do. True equality.
Yep.
They don't talk about any of those individuals. I have to tell you, when I went down, I had a book event at KURV. I think it was my first book. And everybody was so nice. Like, McAllen's one of my favorite places to go. They will never send news cameras down to talk to people in McAllen. Ever. Nope. Ever. Because McAllen residents and most border residents terrify the ever-loving wits out of media. Not for the reason that liberals or progressives might think, but because these are individuals who, I can't tell you how many people I talk to who either their grandparents immigrated or they immigrated. They were so excited to become citizens and open a business and start building something for themselves and their family, like a legacy. I talked to one guy who immigrated into the United States when he was a young man, and he got married to a woman who her family had immigrated legally to the United States. And now their kids are young adults and they started all these businesses and they their kids are getting involved. So they've created like a family, the legacy for themselves. And he was like, I could not have done this. He's like, I could not have done this in the country where my family originated. He's like, it would not have been. There's too much corruption. He's like, there's no way it would have happened. And people come here for the American dream, which thankfully somebody's keeping it alive, as opposed to, you know, we want a universal basic income that I hear progressives arguing about and trying to use the coronavirus checks as a way to test it. But they don't send cameras down there to talk to any of these individuals because of that precisely. They don't want to tell that story. If you want to have a discussion about bigotry or discrimination, I submit that to you as Exhibit A. There's no way that it can be denied what's happening at the border. Cartels have been even using, and I'm going back to these documents that came out from HHS and DHS. Drug cartels they've introduced a wristband inventory system. It says that cartels. Over at the Federalist, they noted this particular point in these documents that came out. They said that they are growing more sophisticated, bracing for a historic surge of illegal immigration this spring. And they said that the kids coming across are just part of the story. They said what most media outlets are not discussing is the surge of adults ferried over the Rio Grande, escorted by U.S. smuggling networks that they have contracts. They're contracted by these powerful cartels to bring in people without these individuals being apprehended by Border Patrol. They said that it's gotten so sophisticated, smugglers now require migrants or illegal entrants to wear wristbands as a way to keep track of who has paid and which smuggling outfit is in charge of whom.
Oh, man.
Wow. And they said that it is a process that you can tell what smuggler group has moved them. That is how many. It's an inventory system. And U.S. Customs and Border Patrol had confirmed it. Wow. We have a lot more coming. That's just like the beginning of what we've got for you today. We're also going to get into... We were warned about violence yesterday, and then... apparently all National Guard saw was like some sun and joggers. What happened to that? Newsweek's trying to fan the flames again. And I'll give you an example. HR1, the big battle in the Senate. I will have all the gross stuff that's in it. We're going to go over it again. We've talked about it once, but It can't make it through the Senate. This bill has to be defeated. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and our freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com.
It's the Dana Show.
Double masking is only slightly better at stopping the spread of COVID particles than relying on one. This is another study. This one is from Japan. And they say that it's basically stupid. Just long story short, it's basically dumb. Just, you know, forget about it. It's dumb. Just, you know, I'm just saying. Now, I'm just going to warn you, everybody's going to start freaking out about Florida. They're going to say, oh my gosh, Florida, spring break. Everything's going to surge. Everyone's going to get the Rona. And they're just going to go on and on and on. Don't listen to them. I mean, it's not like, you know, nursing homes or anything like that. We're just, you know, that's FYI. All right. So coming up, the big bad H.R. 1 bill, one of the worst pieces of legislation that in the past 50 years, bad. It's going to undo voting. It's going to cement mail-in ballots. Stick with us. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
Between COVID, where we need to have vaccinations more broadly in the capital so that many more people can come here and do their jobs, and the threat of all the president's men out there, we have to ensure with our security that we are safe enough to do our job.
What the hell did I just hear? None of that made any sense. She started talking about coronavirus, and then Nancy Pelosi there speaking, delves into you have to have security to for whatever reason. All the president's men, like Biden?
Yeah.
Are she talking about Biden's men?
She didn't say former president.
I'm curious. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. So I got to play for you this video, too. I don't even know what was this from their little awkward where he was going to take questions and then he ultimately did not take questions and they shut him down. Isn't that what this is from originally?
Yeah, I think so.
Can someone explain to me what the ever loving heck is happening in this
claim is enough as you.
In order to open these doors, we do not say open sesame. We say, open Biden. That's our magic word. Open Biden. I love it.
That was so creepy. That was creepy. I feel like she just watched a kid eat part of her gingerbread house and got excited. Open Biden. What is that? Oh, my gosh. I saw that yesterday evening, and it was, I found that terrifying. Woman, scary. I think we need people to protect voters from, goodness, the stuff that they're doing. So, two things. First is the, we're going to talk about HR 1 here in a minute. So, remember how yesterday, March 4th, was the, the only people that I ever heard talk about this was media. They kept saying that something was going to happen. March 4th. That's why we need all of the National Guard here, because something's happening. March 4th, something's happening. We need to have all these National Guard people here. We need more National Guard members in D.C. than actual soldiers in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. We need all these things. And they've had the National Guard there since the election or since the inauguration. And I'm just wondering what in the heck is happening, because this, how many do they have there now? I had the thing. They had a number of them, and they've extended it now 60 days, according to the Associated Press, a 60-day extension for some reason. And yesterday, everything was supposed to kick off, and it didn't. So everyone was wondering, okay, well, you guys said, apparently you guys said that all hell was going to break loose, and it didn't happen. So now Newsweek, don't worry, guys, Newsweek's going to fix this broke narrative. They say QAnon theorists switched date to March 20th after no Trump inauguration on March 4th. They called the 4th a false flag. I kind of think that these people are just the other side of the coin from the QAnon. I don't know anyone who believes in any QAnon stuff. I don't even exactly know everything that they believe in, because I don't care. I'm a busy person. I mean, if I got like into overwrought over everything that people believe, my gosh, you know, like, I mean, we'd have some issues. So you have Blue Anon, just to take the, to crib that from Tim Young, Blue Anon and QAnon, I guess. So Blue Anon, they're the people who are like, well, there was supposed to be like a secret Trump or some kind of like Trump inauguration on March 4th. It didn't happen. So no. That was the false flag date. The real date's actually March 20th. Mm-hmm. So they're using that whole thing to say that this is why we need National Guard there. I think they're just going to keep making up dates in perpetuity just to keep guardsmen there. Have you, and the meals that they've been serving them are gross. I've seen those. But why in the world? It's troubling, and it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
The only way it makes sense to me is if they're planning on something legislatively that would just upset the majority of the country, where they would literally fear people coming to the Capitol, right? Like, what are they planning on legislatively to cram down our throats?
That's a really good question. I had another article from The Independent where they say that QAnon has merged with white Christian evangelicals. The result could be lethal. I literally don't know anybody who believes in this, but I know a ton of Blue Anon people. I see Blue Anon people all the damn time. They're all over the ones that I'm tolerating, my friends who are leftists, every now and then they share some of this Blue Anon stuff. And I'm like, and you guys get mad over the QAnon stuff. Okay, how does this work? I don't know. Could it be HR 1? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out here. HR 1 so far has, this is such a dangerous piece of legislation. One of the most dangerous pieces of legislation just in the last 50 years. You're pretty much done with, it's called For the People Act, which is a crock because it's not for the people, it's for the politicians. Now, we've talked about this before, but I want to revisit it because it is incredibly, it's that troubling. People who say that they're concerned about election integrity, if they don't know and if they're not familiar with HR 1, then you should be mocking them for pretending to be concerned about election integrity, quite honestly. There was one really yesterday, one of the squad members had proposed a really radical, for the HR 1, House Resolution 1, it passed the House, it's in the Senate now. It's called, it's not for the people. But Democrats, they act like they're trying to reform elections for the purposes of security, but it's not for the purposes of security. What it does is it makes voter identification laws illegal, and it nationalizes voting. It cements mail-in ballots. It actually does nothing at all whatsoever to improve any kind of measures that work against election fraud. And it's awful. In fact, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, she was trying to yesterday propose including lowering the voting age. Nope, sorry. I absolutely am wholeheartedly against lowering the voting age. In fact, I'm completely against it. Voting isn't a right. And anyone who wants to take issue with that statement, you can take issue with the ages of legal and scholarly arguments on this as to where voting falls in the Constitution. It is not classified as a natural right. It is not treated legally as a natural right. It is treated more kind of like a civil right, but something that is administered and managed by the states. Anyone who argues otherwise is ignorant of the Constitution. But this is an absolute power grab. It attacks your free speech. It's awful. Oh, by the way, we will all also be funding campaigns. Now, they've been going back and forth on, they've been arguing this. They've been going back and forth. And it is, there was a really good piece that Mark Little wrote over at Town Hall. It says, HR 1 mocks the suffering under Jim Crow. And he gets into the history of voting for Black Americans. And he goes back into the 15th and 19th Amendments, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And he said that H.R. 1 is a statement by the left to all Americans. We will maintain power at all costs. And by doing so, they say to all Americans that our constitutional republic will soon wither if they have their way with the passage of this act. He said, in the face of leftist activism, the pain and suffering that added to the value of the priceless privilege of American citizenship represented by the right to vote has been forgotten. He says he writes in this piece, and this is Mark Little over at Town Hall, he says that the ashes of Jim Crow birthed the civil rights movement. Jim Crow was he discusses and gives the definition. He gets into Emmett Till, and he says that this act, he says, the attempt to overcome the United States Constitution in this bill, of which there are many, he says, the act passes out voting rights like cheap candy. The act literally removes, and it does, literally, all requirements for voting, like the requirement to be and to prove citizenship. You don't have to prove citizenship. Any kind of identification is criminalized now. Everyone gets a mailed ballot no matter what. It nationalizes all voting and, without amending the Constitution, takes it away from the states. And there's nothing in here to combat fraud, and he notes that as well. He also says states will be required to automatically add to the voter registration rolls every person, regardless of their voter eligibility. What? Yeah. He's like, if they partake in government programs, then, and they say that the states are restricted from verifying eligible voters and removing ineligible voters from voter registration rolls.
What?
Yep.
So they're preventing them from cleaning up their rolls?
Absolutely, yes.
Good God.
So I say when I'm telling people that this is HR 1, it's in the Senate now, and they're fighting over it. It absolutely undermines the First Amendment completely, because it undoes, it tries to cancel out court cases that are instrumental in protecting free speech. So the Federal Election Commission in this bill is allowed to track what you say, register every single one of your political donations, no matter how small, and make public anyone who donates to different charitable and nonprofit organizations. So this is going to subject you to a harassment campaign. If you think it's bad now, just wait until everything that you donate to is made public. And they, like I said, they nationalize elections. States are restricted from cleaning up their own voter rolls, from reporting ineligible voters, all of this. And there's no protections against inaccurate data at all. There is a 600% government match for political donations. The Federal Elections Commission, and this is within H.R. 1, every bit of the political regulatory system is entirely weaponized. And they say that we're authorizing public money to pay for campaigns.
That's my money.
Yeah. And the states, it overrides any kind of state law. And again, this comes down to state law. States have the right and the ability to do this. They mandate that all states allow all felons to vote. It forces the states to extend periods of early voting. It mandates you must have same-day voter registration. States are not allowed to cooperate with other states to see who is actually registered in multiple states at the same time. States are not allowed at all whatsoever to make any law by themselves to regulate or manage mail-in ballots. I'm reading from my notes. Free mailing of all absentee ballots, and the states must adopt new redistricting commissions. Oh, it's bad. There's more. Yeah, well, you're not allowed. It's this any protected political speech that can be interpreted as discouraging someone from voting is criminalized. Election observers may not work with election officials, so they can't file any kind of challenges to any kind of registrations that they think are shady. It removes that ability. This ends elections as we know it. This is one of the, this, I think actually this is the most dangerous piece of legislation in our lifetime. It's bad. It is bad. And if you don't know it, I think anyone who doesn't know it and doesn't do anything about it is complicit. That's how bad it is. This is the time, man. We don't need no sunshine patriots. I'm telling you, this is bad. This is a bad bill. If you're not burning up your senator's phone and you're not talking to your lawmakers and saying you must oppose this, because it's in the Senate now, y'all.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I need more time today, man. My gosh, there's so much. So, Steven Hillenburg, the creator of the deceased creator of SpongeBob, is probably rolling in his grave. Nickelodeon has announced the second SpongeBob spinoff series called The Patrick Star Show. And they're also apparently doing basically SpongeBob Babies. And that's something that Hillenburg had said. You know, he said, quote, "You know, one of these days they're going to want to make SpongeBob Babies, and that's when I'm out of here." Yeah, so, oh boy. The Cardinals Busch Stadium is finally going to reopen and allow fans to come in for the 2021 season. They are going to have 32% capacity. I'm just rolling my eyes so hard. They said that, but they're opening it. I remember just in St. Louis, when it's opening day, no one goes to work. It's literally like a state holiday when it's opening day at Busch Stadium. And you can't drive anywhere downtown because everyone's like, I'm just going to walk in the street because it's opening day. And everyone's fine with it, even the police. It's funny. So they're reopening the stadium for 2021 season. And the first space hotel is set to start construction. We're there already? By 2026, they said. Okay, yeah. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry. Your info is safe with her.
Bobo must go!
He cannot govern New York State with this investigation coming on. You cannot focus on governing the budget. You cannot focus, because every time that stuff is happening, you're going to know that there's an investigation.
Ooh, ooh. They're protesting outside of Governor Cuomo's office. He's hiding. It's all right. He's in there hiding. He's not going anywhere. Yeah, they're not. I don't see any political ambition that he's had beyond this. Done. Dude, it's done. Noodles cooked. It's all, it's done. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. I just noticed this too, you know, kind of related to Cuomo. The CDC director says that they're still not releasing guidance on what vaccinated people can do. So if you're not, if the CDC is not releasing guidance on what vaccinated people can do, people are going to take these decisions in their own hands and make these determinations themselves. Bottom line. They're just going to, they're going to come to this decision themselves. I'm just actually, I'm kind of shocked actually that there's nothing, that they don't have anything. You come out with a vaccine and then you're like, well, we don't know what you can do now. Just act like you haven't done it. Just wear your mask, wrap your whole head up in saran wrap, maybe put a pillow over your face too for good measure. Just die.
That doesn't sound healthy.
I'm just saying, it's what it feels like. Oh, and by the way, there was still no insurrection thing yesterday on the 4th. Yeah. The government made it up. Somebody made it up. Then now they say it's going to be the 20th. They're going to just continue to do this. I find that whole thing just, it's so weird. We were talking about H.R. 1. I want to come in, I want to hit this story real quick, and then we're going to play a little fun game. This was from KSDK in my home state of Missouri. And it has to do with a school district in O'Fallon, Missouri. And these teachers were playing human Scrabble. They were playing a game of human Scrabble. Never heard of that. That sounds torturous. And the faculty, it's from the Christian School District. Is that just their name? That's it? Christian School District? There's nothing else in front of it?
I don't know.
I mean, okay. Just sounds, you know, like you don't, there's nothing in front of it. Not like Joe Christian School District or,
no.
Okay. So this is what happened. These, I know, you're just like, wait a minute, what'd they do? Yeah, you know. So these teachers were running around and they were playing a game of human Scrabble. And it was like something that, I don't know, it was like that the staff and faculty were doing this day. I don't know. Everyone has face masks. I know that's important to everybody. So the teachers were running around and they were trying to spell the word raccoon. R-A-C-C-O-O-N, right? Pastor Raymond Horry, who has two kids in the district, he said that he thinks it was done on purpose. And they were trying to spell raccoon or something, and then five of them came together and they only spelled C-O-O-N-S, I think. And now everyone says it was, they say that they spelled a racial slur and the parents are up in arms. And a graduate of the school, he's a current basketball coach. He said, you know, this isn't our school. This was a mistake. Everybody in the world makes mistakes. And he's like, I truly believe that they didn't know what they were doing. And the statement that the district said they're investigating, they said, we recognize that this ill-formed action caused hurt and offense to students and families in our school district because somebody took a picture of it when they did it, apparently. And I don't even know how you play human Scrabble. That's and so now it's they were apologizing. They said that, you know, if you were impacted by this picture, I don't know. That's the statement that they gave out. The St. Charles County NAACP got involved. Interesting how the people who didn't say anything when Kenneth Gladney, a black businessman who was mistaken for a conservative, had his head kicked in and was attacked by leftists in a parking lot after a former congressman, Russ Carnahan's town hall. They didn't say anything about that, but this is, you know, just interesting to point that out. By the way, that was captured on video. Mm-hmm. Send him to the hospital. Do we really think that these teachers decided to, I'm genuinely asking this. So the people who are yelling about the teachers and wanting them fired, cancel their lives, basically. Their thought is really that these teachers went to school and were like, haha, let's spell a racist slur and take a picture and put it on the internet. Ruin our lives. Yeah. Hurt people. Yeah. That's really the thought? Do you, Billy Kane, do you believe the story that they were playing human Scrabble and they were trying to spell raccoon? Are we going to cancel that
animal? That's a believable story. Everyone who's played Scrabble realizes you're limited to the number of tiles you have as to what you can spell. So let's be real about this. I don't think racism was the motivation here for these teachers. I'm just saying. I don't think that's the case.
Do you think that they're still guilty even if it wasn't the motivation?
No, hell no.
But that's...
I mean, literally, there's so many issues in the world. This isn't one of them. Like, this isn't an issue. Hmm. At all. Like, if those were the letters I had and I was playing Scrabble, I would play the same word. Why would I leave a C and just spell soon?
You're such a racist.
I want to get rid of all my letters.
So is that word racist now? Even if they're saying... Now, here's why I asked this. Hold up. Because everyone that I know, and I will preface this, black and white in southern Missouri, if they hunt or even if they see this animal...
That's how they refer to it.
That's how it's referred to.
Yeah.
Putting that out there. And like I said, not all of them, not everyone is white.
Look, and I'm not denying that that word is
so,
a
but is that
word.
No, it can be used racially for sure. But is the word now, I guess what I'm asking is, yes, it absolutely can be and has been used racially, but is it like stricken when you're even talking about like literally physically hunting the animal?
The question would be, is this the only way we can see this word now? Is that what you mean? Like, is this the only way we can see this word is as a racist word? Is that what we're being told?
Or can you only say rah in front of it to talk about the animal?
This is so tiresome.
I hate everything.
This is worthless.
I hate everything. Everything's canceled. Is that what, but you know what I mean? You're from, you know Missouri.
Yeah.
My grandfather, who is not exactly white, he would go hunting. And but he literally would, he ate them. He ate raccoons.
Right. Do you always say an opossum when you see one? No, you say possum.
Because the O is silent.
Exactly.
That's like saying puffifer, but that's different. The R-A isn't silent in it,
No,
though.
But it is when you, like you just said, the vernacular in Missouri, in a lot of part of Missouri and southern Missouri, is they refer to the animal as that. That's literally another way to refer to the animal as. So the R-A might as well be silent.
Yeah. I just think the whole thing is...
I just hate the idea that speech in any way... Like, show me on the doll where that hurt you.
Look, if people are being genuinely... If they're being ignorant and they're being racist, then, I mean, that's one thing. But if you have... It's just hard for me to believe that you had five teachers that were like, you know what? Let's really mess people up. Because I'm pretty sure they probably got into their profession because they liked working with kids. And I'm pretty sure that they probably didn't want to hurt anybody. Nobody wants to give anybody the benefit of the doubt. Let me ask a question separate to that, that's related. Because this made me think of the whole Bachelor thing, how that guy got canceled because he was trying to give this contestant the benefit of the doubt and trying to extend some grace. So is the act of, because no one in the country ever, we immediately assume the worst motive. Is not assuming the worst motive and extending to people the benefit of the doubt and letting them explain, is that act alone considered culpability?
Oh, yeah, anymore these days. Because there is no redemption. There's no forgiveness.
Because I think that's why people are afraid to defend other individuals or say, wait, 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 hold up for a second. Let's explore this before we... Because I think, too, when we do that, especially if there's kids involved, aren't you kind of like making it worse for the kids involved? Because I would imagine there's some kids in the school that really like these teachers. And if you're presenting it this way and without even, again, you're immediately assuming the worst, no benefit of the doubt, you're not talking to nobody. Aren't you contributing to making a kid feel bad because of what you're trying to argue that may not be true about someone else's character?
And you know what else is missing from the story that in the past we used to get when there was claims of racism, was showing a pattern or a history of these individuals doing the same thing, right? None of that was in this story. There was no history on these teachers doing anything like this in the past. There was no reporting on what their behavior has been even recently in history. So the story is not complete. This is clearly, you know, obviously to get the clicks and to stir up emotion, but that's the extent of it.
Yeah. The whole thing. Okay, I want to be able to play, we can play some of this before, some of our game before we go to break, because we have Florida Man on the way too coming up. What do you say, Steve?
I'm ready.
Can we do
it? Okay. Oh, you ready? Okay.
And now it's time for Real or Fake Cancel Culture, the game where you decide if the cancel culture is real or fake.
Real or fake cancel culture. Now, Kane and Steve, I know that you all have been thinking about this, and everybody out there in the audience, you're welcome to play along. Steve was actually getting real serious with some of the stuff he was thinking about.
I'm ready.
Okay, you go first. You give us a question. We're gonna, and we'll see. We'll demonstrate to everybody how it's played.
Okay, the LGBT community has canceled Stoli Vodka because it's Russian.
I am not going to Google this. Don't Google it. Nobody Google.
It's a tough one.
Wow.
Stoli Vodka?
This looks great.
Do we live here?
We sure do, Alan. Anna went to Wayfair.
Look at all this Stoli stuff. Vodka? New desk, ergonomic chair.
Yep, and it was all on budget.
Honestly.
Even this cool lamp.
And Wayfair has way
what
more items.
We
did 4.5.
It was you.
That was you, Kane.
Gosh dang it, Kane. Kane's canceled.
I told you, everything is screwing up over here.
So the question was whether or not we think that the LGBT community has canceled Stoli Vodka because it's Russian.
Tough.
Oh my gosh.
Do we have the Jeopardy thinking music?
Kane, what's your answer?
You know, in today's climate, this sounds kind of real. It sounds kind of real. My instinct says to say fake.
But why
it's so
specifically
absurd?
The gay community?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Okay, I actually think it's real.
Yeah, I'm going to say real,
I think
too.
It's real.
Does Rachel have
I'm not Rachel? Googling.
That's my microwave is done real? Sound effect.
Is that real?
In 2012, Russia's strict anti-gay policies became gaining worldwide traction.
That's what I was thinking.
The country was supposed to host the Olympics, and LGBT community canceled Stoli because they were anti-gay.
Look at that. Well, see, that's like a different kind of, isn't it? Yeah. A bit, but I understand, I understand what you're saying. It's just vodka. Vodka is serious stuff. Wow. Come on. Okay, so there's so many. It's so many examples. Okay, so here I have one for you. Ready? I don't want to give. I'm not going to give. Be specific, just because. An opinion writer recently resigned from an editorial-driven website because their colleagues were upset that they objected to the X in Latinx. And this particular editorial writer was forced into being fired, basically. Is this real cancel or
fired
false
over the X.
Cancel? Fired over the X.
Got it.
True or false? Real or not real? Pretend I'm Jonathan Frakes.
I got to be honest. It sounds legit. It sounds like you're telling me about a story today.
Uh-huh.
That is just as absurd as all the other stories we've heard in regards to cancel culture. So I'm going to have to say real on this one.
What about you, Steve?
I'm going real. It sounds too real.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. It's actually Matthew Iglesias. He argued with the term Latinx, and he had to go on Substack. They ran him out. I have one more for you, and then Kane, you can go.
I think Steve used one of mine already.
Okay, so here's another one. You tell me if this is true or false, okay? If this is a real cancel culture story or not a real cancel culture story. Groups are taking exception to the Keebler elves because they say that the Keebler elves portray false stereotypes over vertically challenged individuals. Is this a real story of cancel culture or false? That you have activists now taking exception to the Keebler elves because the elves are perpetuating false stereotypes about vertically challenged individuals.
First instinct is for me to laugh at that. It sounds funny. But then my other newly developed instinct in today's cancel culture has me thinking that's real.
I feel like this these are all real.
Absurdity's real.
Is that your answer?
I'm going to say real.
Yes.
Steve?
Real.
Nope. Oh, we gotcha.
Oh,
that
I never,
one's false.
Really? I thought they'd all be real, so I didn't put a buzzer on my pen.
Really?
But I'm actually shocked, though, that that hasn't happened, which is why I always joke about the Keebler Elves so often, because I'm like, it hasn't happened yet, but it's only a matter of time. I know. All right. Do you want to do one more, Steve? Or should we go to break? Okay. Yeah, Steve's like, we got to work. I think we should play this weekly. We'll have more time next week, but we had a lot of material today. And we have Senator John Cornyn, who's going to be joining us next hour to talk about the fight over Texas reopening and the border as well. Like, what? There's more. People are angry over the mask mandate being removed than they are about the situation at the border.
It's the Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is one of the worst Florida Man stories I can imagine. WSOC-TV, a Florida man was accused of jumping naked on his neighbor's trampoline before he went and broke into the home. I'm just going to say naked jumping on the trampoline is awful. I can't pull the rest of the story up. We're having some technical difficulties, and thank heavens for that. Stick with us. We've got more in store.
We're saying to people, still social distance. We're just not taking away the freedom and liberty in Texas from people that they are doing in Democrat states and Joe Biden wants to do. But again, Harris, I go back to the president. How dare him attack Texas for our policies when he is allowing the border to be overrun by people coming in here by the hundreds, by the thousands, and testing positive?
That's Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. He's not wrong. Not wrong. Not wrong. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. And Democrats, they are, just to give you an update on that, they're going back and forth over H.R. 1 in the Senate. They passed it through the House. That's the bill that would cement mail-in ballots, etc. And it's an attack on speech. We've talked extensively about it, and I've written extensively about it over at the newsletter. It is anyone who claims that they are all for election integrity and that's their biggest concern, and they didn't vote last election because they were worried that their vote didn't count and they don't know anything about H.R. 1. They're faking. They're a fake concern person, concern troll. So this we've also been discussing this situation with the border and how every border state governor now needs to step up. And it is leaked documents came out showing that the cartels are using a wristband system. And in fact, the White House is preparing what they're calling this Ellis Island rapid response style to cope with the surge at the border. I mean, this is going to apparently get a lot worse by spring, because the language and the way that the administration has handled this is to tell people, well, don't come. We played this audio yesterday. Don't come across the border now. Wait. No, people are not going to go, and they're not going to go. They're not going to wait. Good heavens. And so they're considering, well, the Biden administration has been going back and forth over what they're going to call these detention facilities for these kids that are coming across, because thanks to Biden undoing a lot of the protections, border protections, and undoing the actually renewing catch and release, the Flores Amendment, and that's what people are taking advantage of when they go and they get a kid and they come across the border. That's the Flores Amendment is what allows them to be processed faster and be released faster. So all of those protections have been reversed, the three of them in the first week of Biden's administration. And now the administration wants to call the detention centers where they put the kids, quote unquote, reception centers, because they think that sounds better. I'm not kidding you. That's like actually what they're doing. This is going to, I mean, this is just getting a lot worse, and it's going to continue to get worse. I feel so bad for people in border towns. And if you think that this is just, you know, limited to Arizona or Texas or any kind of border state, think again, because these individuals, these, whether they're illegal entrants or whether they're asylum seekers, they're coming across the border. Not everyone is being tested. When people are tested, it doesn't matter if they're positive or not. They're still allowed to board a bus and travel throughout the United States going however far, wherever they want. And there's no documentation given to them whatsoever stipulating that they've had a test and it was negative or they had a test and it was positive. Furthermore, as Jen Psaki said, FEMA, when I think there were some governors, some lawmakers that reached out to FEMA to see if they wanted to get involved with this, since this was a federal order that's creating this problem for the states. And FEMA said, the government said, no. This is you. This is the states. We created this problem. You're going to deal with it. And now you have these border towns and volunteers that are rushing around trying to get people to be vaccinators and get, or not vaccinators, but get tests and get people to administer tests. Ellis Island style processing. This is going to be a crisis. It's going to be a crisis situation. And in fact, even though Jen Psaki says that it's not a crisis and it's not, what did they say? Everyone else is saying that it is. Axios says that it is. It's in a headline. Mm-hmm. You have families, you have kids, you have in one area, what was it, the Del Rio section, you had 1,600. Apprehended. The shelter system's at 94%. And what did the White House think was going to happen? Honestly. I mean, what did they think was going to happen? You know, the rule that was under the Trump administration was that Border Patrol could turn anyone away at the border for coronavirus reasons. And who was it that, what was the bus service? Was it Greyhound?
No, it's Omnibus.
No, there's another one that came out today.
Oh, I didn't see
Omnibus that. Was the one that came out and said that that's the busing system that's being used, where they said that they're barred from asking anyone whether or not they're coronavirus positive. And that Greyhound already said that they're not going to allow Border Patrol agents to board their buses. Oh, my goodness. But there was one of the bus companies had set, they had issued a release because they wanted more federal help. Nope. Maybe if some of the buses, instead of doing some of the stuff that they did, maybe they could encourage the federal government to stop pushing policies that are overwhelming our areas. Think about this for a minute. It is a federal policy now where Border Patrol states are not allowed to turn anyone away if they're coming to the border, no matter the pandemic or not. Apparently, the pandemic isn't important enough to turn people away at the border and let and release them throughout the country without being tested or even if they're positive. And this is not just like speculatory, as I've linked in the newsletter and we've talked about. This isn't just from widespread reporting from even leftist outlets like Bloomberg and Associated Press, but this also comes from official statements from numerous mayors of border towns, governors, border patrol chiefs, border agents, and interviews with illegal entrants and asylum seekers themselves, as quoted by Telemundo. What else do you want? But you have the federal government that rolled back every protection that helped to control the flow at the border. They rolled back the ability of Border Patrol to say, if you are positive, you cannot be admitted. Here's the other thing, and aside to that, and it was the, I can't remember the name of it, but it was asylum seekers that wanted to seek asylum in the United States. When they would file their paperwork, they had to wait out their time in Mexico. And that was a program under Trump that Mexico was honoring. Now that Biden's in office, now that is no longer being honored, and asylum seekers are coming across the border to wait out their time for that here in the United States. Two of the individuals that were interviewed, and both of these were over at Telemundo, they had said that they had tested positive. Both were asymptomatic, and they were, one of them was getting on a bus to go to South Carolina. Somebody else was going to Jersey. Good luck. But see, if you're a citizen and you go and, you know, you're vacationing to Mexico and you come back in the United States, you got to provide a negative test, but, or you're not going to be allowed in. No joke. So this is the federal government that's creating a disaster. And then they're telling the states, any protections and abilities that you had previously available to you to control this and help you manage it better are now rescinded. So what are they supposed to do? And in the meantime, as Texas tries opening, everyone's screaming at Texas for rolling back the mask mandate, but not a single one of these damn people are saying anything about the problem that's been created by the federal government at the border. Not a single one of these people have had any bad words to say about this. Not a single one. I know, because I do the hardest research in the talk radio industry. No one in talk radio researches and is as prepared as I am. Not a single one of them. And it is infuriating. Absolutely infuriating. I'm just not. So they're going to get angrier. So I think the whole reset, the renaming of the detention centers for the kids that are coming across, I think that's to placate his base. That's just to shut up any, like, the AOCs who might be upset. Remember, what did she say last week about this? Because when she was, this is when the Carrizo Springs, Texas facility was open. Didn't she say this is like troubling or something? She went from calling these damn things concentration camps. That's what she called them previously. Concentration camps. To, well, this is troubling. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's just, this is insane. No, but these Health and Human Services documents, this is, they're sounding the alarm internally. While Jen Psaki yesterday was telling everybody, no, this is not a crisis. It's not, you know, this isn't a huge issue. She said it was Neanderthal thinking to think about reopening, but it's not Neanderthal thinking to engage in this and push these policies and create this problem. We're going to talk to Senator John Cornyn about that here coming up. Also, additionally, goodness, we have so much stuff. Really, we do. I had one thing that I really, I don't know if I'm going to have time to do it, but I'll have two things here. So first, I just want to read you this group of headlines. I'm just going to read you this group of headlines. Ready? First one. We were repeatedly warned of March 4th violence. Didn't happen. Troops met mild weather. Also, Democrat representative sits outside Congress to protest QAnon behind barbed wire fencing and National Guardsmen. 3. Eric Swalwell sues Trump and allies, alleges they were responsible for Capitol riot. 4. Federal investigators are examining communications between U.S. lawmakers and Capitol rioters. And here's the fifth headline. Meanwhile, the DOJ has dropped dozens of cases against the Portland rioters. What? Yeah. That is true. Which, you know, we kind of knew that, but they've dropped dozens of cases against Portland rioters. Kyle Eboshi has been tracking these federal cases stemming from the violent and destructive protests in downtown Portland. Of the 90 cases so far, 34 of them, he reports, have been quietly dismissed by the U.S. Department of Justice. And they include both misdemeanor and felony charges. Wow. He reports for KGW8. He said that of the 31 of the 90 protest cases were dismissed, it's a mix of misdemeanor and felony charges. Some of the most serious charges dropped include 4 defendants charged with assaulting a federal officer. More than half of the dropped charges were dismissed with prejudice, which several former federal prosecutors describe as incredibly rare. That means the case can't be brought back to court. That's what that means. Wow. Wow. Now, remember, these are the same people that were attacking the federal courthouse. They were attacking federal agents with what were described as industrial grade fireworks. No National Guard was sent up there.
Okay with insurrection as long as it leans in their favor.
Well, they were okay with the leftists storming the Capitol and occupying office.
Yep.
under Obama. If you want to have a discussion about insurrections.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So apparently the Friends reunion is going to happen on HBO Max. According to David Schwimmer, it's going to tape in a little over a month. David Schwimmer, he's 54. He played the nerdy paleontologist Ross Geller. 54. He's 54? Seriously? No way. Really?
Sure it's not 45? Like they got dyslexic?
54. And he said, yeah, so we're going to film it, and there's going to be a portion that we film outside because of safety protocols, which kind of... But they... Wow. They kept delaying it because of the lockdown and everything else. So I don't know... Apparently, they're not going to be in character. So during an interview with Variety last summer, Lisa Kudrow said that she's not going to be Phoebe and that they're kind of fragments of... I don't even know. What the hell is this supposed to be then? Like, are we not watching them to see them navigate like a midlife crisis or something? I'm just curious. Texas license to carry holders account for a minute fraction of convictions. According to a Department of Public Safety report available over at the Texan, they say that those Texan residents who are active license to carry holders account for such a small fraction of convictions. In fact, this is not just in Texas. This is also in like every state. Yep. And Texas will also name and shame you, too. If you have a license and you mess up, you do something bad, you get in trouble with the law. You know, they post your name, right? Publicly. Yeah. It's like Wild West kind of stuff. But that's true of everyone. It keeps going. Senator Kevin Cramer says that big banks, they want to circumvent the Constitution or the law to create de facto bans on legally compliant business. This is basically about Operation Choke Point. He's introduced a bill that makes it illegal to do so and will impose serious consequences on those individuals who choose to violate, or those businesses, those banks who choose to violate that law, which is good because we've talked about Operation Choke Point for quite some time. We have a lot more on the way. Texas Senator John Cornyn joins us next about that border plot problem and the reopening of the Republic.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does the president have any second thoughts about the language that he used yesterday? And how does comparing someone to a Neanderthal help convince them to change course and get on board with your public health message?
The behavior of a Neanderthal, just to be very clear.
It's the behavior of a Neanderthal, which we had some fun with this soundbite yesterday. That was Jen Psaki just yesterday when she was asked about that statement that President Joe Biden made when discussing Texas's reopening. And reopening to just being normal again, a rollback of the mask mandate, which means that you can wear a mask if you want to, or because you have the freedom to choose, you do not have to wear a mask if you do not want to. No one is banning you from wearing a mask. It's very, very simple logic. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, don't. That's not Neanderthal thinking. That's called freedom. And we don't really describe freedom as something that Neanderthals do. You know, just look throughout history. But then there were more people who were angrier over that, the announcement from Governor Greg Abbott about the rollback. And of course, they're also mad now at Mississippi. Yep. And then who else? Nobody's mad at Connecticut, though. They're excluded for reopening for, what did they say, full or regular capacity, something like that for their restaurants. Yeah. All these individuals who are super angry over at the decision to roll back certain mandates, because I've looked and I have Google alerts and I've been in LexisNexis, I've looked at everything. Not a single one of these people have said anything about the fact that the Biden administration, remember that first week they rolled back all these executive orders, all these protections as it related to the border and immigration, allowing both illegal entrants and asylum seekers into the country, many of them not even tested. Those who are tested even if they're positive, they're still allowed to board a bus. Buses are barred from asking whether or not individuals are tested and if they're positive. And then they go and travel throughout the rest of the country. Not a single person upset about that. Joining me to discuss this is Senator John Cornyn from the Republic of Texas. Senator, appreciate you joining us today. And I just got to get your thoughts on this. Where all these individuals that are mad and they say that the decision to roll back these mandates in Texas is so awful, but yet not a single peep from these people about this policy, which now we see in these leaked documents from DHS, is considered to be, quote, overwhelming to Border Patrol. They're losing all control of it. Senator, your thought on this?
Yeah, it's another case of selective outrage and double standards. You know, I agree with you, Dana, on the mask. Anybody wants to wear a mask can wear a mask, but there haven't been many stories, at least lately in this context, about the states that never had a mask mandate. And so it really is selective outrage. But what's happening at the border is a growing humanitarian crisis. I know the president doesn't want to admit it's a crisis. He said it's just a challenge. But we've seen this movie before. And people are coming up to the border, and because the guiding principle for the Biden administration seems to be, if the Trump administration did something, we're going to do the opposite without even planning for what the consequences may be. And, you know, I feel for the Border Patrol, who are doing their job along the border, who have not yet been vaccinated as a priority, and no testing for people coming into the country and during a pandemic. So this is really an outrage.
Yeah, and you mentioned that we're speaking with Senator John Cornyn, and you mentioned that, Senator, because of the staffing and the resources, not everyone is able to get tested. Jen Psaki was asked about this yesterday evening or late afternoon, and her response was that it's the responsibility of non-government offices and cities and localities to handle this. But this is a federal policy that has created this nightmare. And so now there were reports in Brownsville. They're running around. Volunteers were trying to get any kind of testing kits. I know the state of Texas had to send them. Republic had to send them a bunch of testing kits. McAllen is, they're seeing this. They're being overrun. Del Rio sector's being overrun. What responsibility do you think that the federal government, if they're not going to change these policies, should they have to help out these areas that they are really, they're causing this deluge?
Yeah, if they're going to create the mess, they need to be responsible for cleaning it up. And right now they want to say other people have that responsibility, and they're standing on the sidelines. Now, I realize, you know, they're beginning to realize the folly of their position, and I read that the president's sending some of the folks from the Department of Homeland Security down to see what's happening at the border. Well, wouldn't that be nice if they'd gone down there and talked to the local communities there who've been there during the Obama administration when that humanitarian crisis was on steroids, and said, you know, what do we need to do if we're going to change this policy? And particularly, what do we need to do in a pandemic, which adds another layer of complexity on all of this? But they didn't do that. They just, despite the president's very nice rhetoric on January the 20th about healing our divisions and unifying the country, he just has proceeded so far to govern like an autocrat with one executive order after another. And now this horrendous $1.9 trillion COVID-19 bill, which is about anything else other than COVID-19.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about next. We're speaking with Senator John Cornyn of the Republic of Texas. This bill, this relief, I'm using air quotes for this, the relief plan, 628 pages. I know that Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, he was trending last night and this morning on social media because individuals were mad that he demanded a read of the whole bill. But this is considered and called accurately by many to be a blue state bailout because these states that had budget issues long before the pandemic began. Some of these were generationally caused, where you, like, for instance, Illinois, they're in the red, an astronomical amount. It predates the pandemic, but yet they're trying to say that because of the lockdown, and these were the states that were also the most restrictive, and that didn't help their economies, that they need this money more than other states. Doesn't it, it kind of almost seems like they're admitting by way of claiming that they need more money because of these restrictions that they impose, that the other states like Florida and Texas did it correct. Tell us about this blue state bailout, Senator.
Well, if they were honest, they would admit it, Dana. But unfortunately, they're being disingenuous about this. This is, you know, the old Rahm Emanuel statement that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. They have, under the guise of COVID-19, got this bill through $1.9 trillion. Only about 8% of it is related to COVID-19. About 1%. Related to vaccines. This is really a Trojan horse for the kind of reckless spending and bailouts in blue states. And you correctly point out that when they see the opportunity to do this and they realize that we can do this with only Democratic votes, they're going to take the ball and run with it, and they have. But the other thing, just to remind your listeners, is we did a $600 billion bill in December, which was bipartisan. We've done five bipartisan bills on COVID-19. All of us, regardless of ideology or partisan affiliation, recognize that this was a crisis. But a lot of that money, a whole lot of the money that was appropriated just in December, hadn't even been spent yet. And so, unfortunately, the mainstream media is not asking the questions that you're asking and others are asking. And I say bully for Ron Johnson for making the Democrats read the bill. You know, what they hoped for is that this would pass in the dead of night and nobody would really know what's happening in light of all the other things happening in the world at the border or with Governor Cuomo. And fortunately, this is getting some real attention, and it deserves it.
I was impressed to see six Democrats vote no on including $15 mandatory minimum wage in this. I've been seeing some news about that. But yeah. There's a lot of stuff in this that has nothing to do with coronavirus relief. And then there was the story the other day about Democrats kind of having a little mini war with themselves because some of them had struck a deal with President Biden on, again, moving the goalposts on those checks. First, it was $2,000. Then they made it $1,400. Then they reduced the number of individuals to receive those $1,400 checks. So there's a number of promises that have been broken there. Senator Cornyn, how is that going to play out with the rest of the party? I mean, how are they going to maintain support at this rate?
Well, I think they're having some real problems. We voted on the budget waiver for Bernie Sanders for the minimum wage you mentioned. And there were a number of Democratic defections. I think it wasn't just Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. And I'm sure Bernie's head is about ready to burst. But typically we have 15-minute votes in the Senate. That vote started at 11:03, and it's now 2:45 Eastern time. And we're waiting for the next vote. They are scrambling, trying to figure out how do they hold this thing together. They can't do it unless they can muster the votes, and that means getting everybody on the Democratic side on board. And I appreciate and respect the willingness of at least some folks on the Democratic side to say, let's slow down this train a little bit. Let's not go completely crazy when it comes to spending a lot more borrowed money.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Senator John Cornyn of Texas. Senator, before I let you go, I have to ask you about the dangerous, dangerous piece of legislation that is H.R. 1. Mm. How do you anticipate this? Is this going to make it through the Senate? And for those who maybe didn't hear us all talk about it earlier, this is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation that I don't see how Republicans ever get elected again after H.R. 1. It cements mail-in ballots. It basically criminalizes the ability for states to keep intact and honest their voter rolls. It makes the public help finance campaigns. I mean, this is insane. And it passed through the House, which is not exactly a surprise. But how is it doing in the Senate?
Well, it's dead on arrival in the Senate. The only thing I would add to what you described, Dana, is the fact that it eliminates voter ID, something that has broad bipartisan support. And that you described it accurately. This isn't really anything other than a way to for Democrats to maintain their dominance for the foreseeable future because it so stacks the deck. And it also, I think... It basically makes impossible the sort of ballot integrity measures that are important to preserve the value of everybody's ballot by making it easy to cheat and easy to for people who shouldn't be voting to cast their vote. This is, I got into a little bit of a Twitter war with Beto O'Rourke. You know, the other narrative that these guys have been spinning is they call these measures, these ballot integrity measures, voter suppression. I pointed out to Beto that in November we had almost 11 million people vote, as a historic record, including people of all colors and spectrums and ethnicities. And these people want to sell this false narrative about voter integrity measures being voter suppression. We got to really push back on that. It's really dangerous.
No, I think that's a great point. Actually, it's voter suppression to not have those protections in place, because that means anybody's vote can be canceled out. I wish more people realize that. Senator John Cornyn, we appreciate you giving us some time today. I know we'll be talking with you again soon, and we'll watch all this play out in the Senate. Thanks so much.
Look forward to it. Take care.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
You know, my strong advice to them, Joe, would be to actually continue to implement the public health measures. Now is not the time to pull back. The good news is that we have vaccines coming online. You saw the curve of the infections per day coming down. But over the last 7 days or so, we've reached a bit of a plateau where the deflection of the curve isn't going straight down the way it was. That's a bad sign. We've seen that before.
I got a bad sign. You want a bad sign? I got a bad sign for you. It's Friday. I feel super sassy today. Super sassy. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. So Monday, I can't tell you. We gotta talk about this. We keep getting these interview requests. I love people and I love talking to people. But there's one thing that I loathe. And it's like this. I don't like virtue signal holidays or observances. So what Monday is? What the hell is Monday? Hang on.
International
Women's Day.
Women's Day?
Women's International Women's Day. The hell is that about? And it's, I don't even know. So I've gotten, and some of them have been from kind of like independent. Some of them are, you know, conservative leaning. They're like, do you want to come on and talk about International Women's Day, what it's like being a woman in talk radio? And I'm like, are you going to have dudes on about what it's like to be a dude in talk radio? I mean, I ain't no, Anne? I just think a lot of women go into what they want to go into. And I just think it's stupid to have this whole International Women's Day when we're running women out of sports. And I made the remark earlier. Yeah, remember when the lockdown started and all these cosmetologists were getting arrested, women cosmetologists, and a woman salon owner was arrested because she was trying to reopen her business. But okay, International Women's Day. I just, it's stupid. Do dudes get a day? Y'all are some of the most hated people in the world. Do you all get a day?
I take a day every now and again.
Why? I hate this approach from this victim perspective. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like, as a woman, I sure as hell don't feel like a victim. I feel like I could easily victimize men. I think people are forgetting this. I just think it's stupid to approach it from this like victim thing. Where's the dude day recognition? This is stupid.
There's a renowned value in victimhood today.
Oh, exactly.
You know,
I think I'm gonna have to watch Coming to America too, because I think it'll probably be canceled by Monday. Everyone's saying that the jokes are sexist. Shut up. Just stop ruining everything, you woke scold. Kane, what's today's stupidity? There's nothing that could be dumber than the last two things
Nancy
we just talked about.
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, is this a creepy video?
Is this the one about the open sesame? Yeah, she's she doesn't say open sesame. I mean, all of a sudden, Democrat is so president awful. Is in and it's she's weird. For opening up the country. But here it is, what she said yesterday. And man, oh man, it's cringeworthy.
In order to open these doors, we do not say open sesame.
Really?
We say open Biden. Oh, that's our magic word.
Biden?
Open Biden. I love it.
That's so weird. Just it's don't.
Like, who's the coroner would do in an autopsy? They'd open people up. That's how they do it.
I just think when she tries to express joy, it's scary. Folks, DanaLash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. Have a great, safe weekend. I'll be back with you Monday, y'all.